Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Greetings, humans. You have entered the command zone, your destination for all aspects of Elder Dragon. Greetings, humans. And you have entered the command zone. Your destination for all aspects of Elder Dragon Highlander. Enjoy your stay.
What's up, everybody? You are watching slash listening to the Command Zone podcast. I am Jimmy Wong, and today I am joined by the one and only Game Nights alumni, LGS owner, NFL superstar, Foil King himself.
Hey.
King Cash. What's up, Cashes?
What's going on, my brother?
Not much, man. You know, you've been on this scene for a while now. A lot of people are probably familiar with you from a wide assortment of stuff. We're going to break down how you've been in the game and how that's grown and evolved over the years, and especially how the competitive scene has changed as well. In fact, one of the reasons you're here today is because you are helping throw what literally is the largest competitive EDH tournament of all time, right?
Yeah, bro. Super excited, man. We're partnering up with Frank & Sons, and we're throwing a EDH tournament with first place, getting something super juicy. I won't reveal it. I know you want to take that right there.
We will reveal the prizes later on in the show. Yes, but yes. But to Cassius's point, it is big. $30,000 of prizes, and that's being conservative, to be honest.
Yeah, definitely.
It's taking place September 3rd and 4th, and yeah, the first place prize, pieces of power. You're going to get power in there.
Yeah, man.
We'll talk about the full deck list, or no, sorry, the full list of things that you can win later on, but it's competitive EDH. Hope you can bring your best decks. But before we get into the show today, we got to talk about our sponsors. That's right, channelfireball.com/command. They are our sponsor for the show, so you can just go ahead and click that link. Go there, enter code command at checkout, buy Magic singles, sealed product, and more. Everything you need to get going with your Magic collection, because if you want to play competitive and you want to start testing it out, maybe after this episode you do, you have to pick up some pieces there. And then when you get those cards, shop.ultrapro.com/command. Keep them protected. Keep them safe because, as Cassius knows and I know, some of the competitive cards get to be a little pricey. Yes. Last thing you want is that card to get damaged. So put them into an Ultra Pro sleeve, on a playmat, all that good stuff. Finally, last way to support the show is directly at patreon.com/commandzone. We shout out one lucky patron every week. And this patron's name is, and this episode is dedicated to, Carrick Rooney II. It's a cool name. The second, yeah.
Carrick Rooney II, you are an absolute G, my friend.
You're a rock star, dude. Yes. You rock. All right, let's just get right into it. So, Cassius, now those of you watching this video might look at you and go, wait a minute, this guy plays Magic the Gathering? Because you don't strike people typically as someone that you see as a sort of normal, regular Magic the Gathering player. In fact, before you arrived on the scene, I think the way that people used to look at Magic was a little different. It was like complete Nerdsville. You like look at Stranger Things and stuff. You watch Stranger Things?
Yeah, yeah.
The way they like show Dungeons and Dragons, yeah. Right? It's like kids in the basement, from society. But Magic has changed so much. But let's start at the top, because I don't think a lot of people actually know how you got into the scene sort of known by other people. And it's not actually a very happy story to begin with.
Yeah.
So do you want to tell everyone about what happened? What was it? Seven years ago,
yeah. So long story short, I let my girlfriend at the time, now fiance, Devin, she borrowed my car. I had both my backpacks in it, one of which had my playbook / iPad for the Seahawks at the time, and then the other had about $20,000 in Magic decks.
Oh.
So all the cars got hit that night. Mine just had some super valuable stuff in it, and I tweeted out asking for a return of the tickets in exchange for a bunch of Seahawks.
Oh, return of the cards.
Return of the cards. Yeah. Return of the cards for a bunch of Seahawks tickets.
That's a good call, actually.
Yeah, I mean, 12s are nuts. Like, they're a great fan base, and so I figured, you know, maybe this guy wants tickets. Doesn't obviously, it was not the smartest thing to. Say how much they were, you know.
Should have been like, a very worthless bag of cards got stolen.
Yeah.
Do you want Seahawks tickets?
Yeah. I just love these cards. Yeah, exactly. So, thing went viral, and one thing led to another, and Watsy came out, showed love. The community showed an insane amount of love. I was so blessed. The community just blessed me on many different levels, so it was great.
Yeah, they rose up, and I remember seeing it too, because Josh grew up in Oregon, I grew up in Seattle, so both of us were Seahawks fans, and so when I saw the news, I was like, wait a minute, not just anyone got their magic card stolen, but someone playing for my favorite team.
Yeah.
So I instantly was interested into what was happening, and it was really cool. Yeah, Wizards came out, they gave you like a bunch of stuff in boxes and all sorts of to sort of help replenish the collection, but what was in there that made it worth $20,000?
So in the deck, so I had a couple. Like, I had one Legacy deck. It was Canadian Threshold. So it was a playset of Trop Islands and a playset of Volcanic Islands.
Holy moly.
And then, you know, all of the other good stuff from that deck list. And
yeah,
then,
just a lot of Legacy-type cards.
Yeah, exactly. And then it was a bunch of Modern decks. So it was like, I think it was probably like 5 or 6 Modern decks.
Yeesh.
And, you know, Modern's not the cheapest set either. So, yeah, it definitely hurt. I had started buying foils at that time, too. Like, I had started getting into it a little bit, you know what I mean? So yeah. I started buying some of the foil lands, and they weren't the cheapest cards, but...
Yeah, that's crazy, because when I heard your collection was stolen, I was thinking, like, binders or, like, cards in boxes, but these were full-on decks, and that actually makes it even more valuable, because they were curated cards. It's not like you had draft chaff in there or whatever.
Exactly.
Man, that is crazy. But the community stepped up. Yeah. People were sending you stuff, I heard?
Yeah, so a bunch of... Yeah, it was crazy, man. I got so much mail to the Seahawks facility. It was crazy, and one of the wildest ones was a collector's edition, a full set of collector's edition. Whoa. It was in a binder, but at the time my knowledge of like the collectible side of Magic wasn't that great. You know, I had really started getting back into Magic deep when I got drafted, and so I saw it and was like, oh, this is chill, I guess. I put it to the side, and then, you know, going through your collection, just looking at stuff, I looked at it one night and I was like, wait, there's power back here.
Yeah,
I'm like,
they have these like square cut edges.
Yeah,
but you can still play that Time Twister in Commander, and it's totally legal.
Yeah, it was crazy. So I was just like, wow, I had no idea. Looked it up at the time. I think it was like $8,000 or $10,000 at that time, and I was just like, wow. I had no idea where it came from though. That was the kind of cruddy part about it was.
I couldn't thank the person
or, you know, offer them some money because that thing was super valuable. They just sent it for free. So.
Well, hey, look, if that person, if you're out there watching and listening to this episode right now, Cassius, you want to say thank you?
Thank you, my brother. I still have a majority of it, man. So, you know, if you ever need it, man, I'd be happy to donate it right back, bro. That was one of the coolest things, man.
That's awesome. You're gonna get like 50,000 emails.
Yeah.
Like, it was me.
Yeah, exactly.
You're gonna get one from me,
dude. I'll have to verify, like, for sure. I'll need some verification.
Yeah, totally. that's amazing. Yeah, it's great because I think that was the first show of like how powerful the Magic community was. And even back then, right, like people were just stoked that a football player was playing Magic. And I think that was a big reason that everyone was like, let's make sure that this person doesn't quit the game. Because were you close to thinking about not playing anymore after that?
I did. I thought about it. I was really pissed.
Oh, man.
I was really pissed. But, like, you know, it was just almost immediate, the support from the community. And I had a buddy. You know, it wasn't my whole collection. I still had a bunch of cards at the house. And, like, had been, like, because I bought a lot and I spent, you know, had a good collection. But your decks, like, the time you put into them, like, that just hurt. And so I had another buddy who gifted me, like, what was it? It was an artifact deck. It was like...
Oh, nice. It was like KCI back then?
Yeah, it was like...
Infect?
No, not Infect.
You're playing like Memnarchs? Not Memnarchs. You're playing like Memnites and stuff.
It's like Frogmites. Arcbound Ravager.
Arcbound Ravagers, yeah.
Like all the modular cards and stuff like that.
Affinity.
Yeah, it was Affinity. There. Yeah, that's the term I'm looking for.
We're Magic players. We know what we're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. I haven't played in the Modern scene in a minute, so like that, I just need to search for that word. But yeah, he gave, you know, people just made it
that's
really
great.
Easy, man. So, yeah.
We found that too, and that's part of the spirit of why we're always giving stuff away at the end of all of our Game Nights episodes, is we think one of the best ways to get people in is just give them cards.
Cards, yeah.
It's an amazing way to start. Yeah. Every time I have Draft Chef or Josh too, we just drop it off or we give it to a YMCA or whatever it is. And you know that even if they're commons or whatever, someone's going to take it, fall in love, and have that magic start
even if
all
it's
over.
Just one, yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy. That time too, I was just getting into Commander. So it kind of pushed me in the Commander scene because all my Legacy and Modern decks had gotten stolen. So I was like, dang, am I really going to go back into this? Or like, Commander seems tight. Like, let me see what this is talking about.
Yeah, that's actually fascinating because shortly after, Wizards connected us and you were in Los Angeles because you come down to SoCal for a bunch of different things.
Yeah.
And you came on the show.
Yes.
I remember when I first met you, I was like, I'm one, super intimidated. Because you had this dog that was like the size of me.
Yeah. Boss is like the sweetest pup, though.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. But, me and Josh had no idea what to expect. Because we'd see some interviews and stuff, but we really didn't know what was going to happen. And what ended up happening, I think, actually defined a really crucial moment in Game Nights history, which was, it was Game Nights episode 6. You built a deck around Samut, so it was Naya. And you played on turn 3 in Ugin.
Yes. The turn 3 Ugin.
The turn 3 Ugin. And it was such a, like... Because it's interesting, because if you look at turn 3 Ugin today, 2022...
No.
Not that impressive in a lot of ways. It is still impressive, right? 8 mana turn 3, it's a lot. But people are winning on turn 2, turn 1, or whatever.
Dude, it's a really expensive, like... board clear is what it is at this point. Like,
right, because you're just wiping the board with
it. Ugin gets cut out of most decks nowadays unless it's...
fully colorless.
Yeah, or like Super Friends or something
right.
You know what I mean? So great card, obviously, but like now, looking back at it now, it's really not that powerful.
Yeah, but
fast mana is...
It's crazy because fast mana just wasn't that prevalent back then,
right.
I think. And so what led you to be sort of like, know that that was how you wanted to build the deck? Because even me and Josh didn't think about playing Magic sort of to that degree before, especially Commander, but you sort of, I think it's inherent to your nature and why you still can play competitive today.
Yeah. I think I was just ready to build something dope, you know, if I was going to go on a show and play, and like, I figured it made sense, like, you know, mana ramp, red, green. I mean, obviously it was Naya, but at the time, like, triple color decks were like, white wasn't the greatest. And then, so I was like, all right, I'm just going to go like big stompy creatures and try and do it really fast and ramp up, and obviously
you need all that mana.
Yeah, put a bunch of mana rocks in there to make it happen faster. So
what did you play at growing up? Was it similarly competitive?
No. Actually, I grew up playing like tabletop Magic, bro.
Yeah.
Like 60 card decks, like big multiplayer games. And it was like Commander style, but it was 60 card decks. So the games would just last forever. And it was all swinging, like no combos. It was cool. But I grew up playing at Hidden Fortress in Simi Valley.
Nice.
They're still there today. The owners are super cool, and they support me and my business as well, so love those guys over there.
Yeah, shout out to them. That's great. I love hearing origin stories, because that, I think, really helps define what the player becomes later or why they get really invested in the game.
No doubt.
Another really cool thing about that episode is that the Monarch strategy was the first time that we saw that. So we were passing around this like weird like Amazon bought Egyptian headpiece or whatever. Yeah, and you got to wear it at some point, but you were already sort of known as King before then, right?
Yeah, it kind of, I don't know where it came from, to be honest with you, man. The King Cash Twitter thing, I think I just did that, and then it stuck with me. You know, everybody just called me King, because I think
it got a great ring to it. King
right.
Cash,
it does. It sounds good. And,
Foil
and
King.
At the time, Twitter was like the biggest social media by far. So like, you know, when I got drafted, I had just a ton of people flood. And then so everybody was like, yo, what up, King Cash? And, you know, like, I don't know,
that's
it just kind of stuck that way.
Maybe it was a precursor to coming on Game Nights. They knew. They were like manifesting you getting the Monarch token at some point.
They were manifesting the Foil King thing. It was destiny.
Well, I would say that was the birth of you on the sort of like the public Magic scene outside of obviously the first awful incident.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't talk about that one. But it was great. I mean, I think like Josh and I are obviously so grateful that you were one open and down to come on, because you look at the comments of that episode and you look at, you know, what people were saying about it. This was really the first time you saw like a major non-nerd in a lot of ways play a game like this. Someone that had stature in a different field, entirely different than gaming. And I remember used to seeing like, you see basketball teams and football teams, they go on tour, or not tour, they go play games in different states, and so they'll bring their Xbox, they'll play Call of Duty, 100%. They'll play Fortnite these days. But Magic, it's just a little more deep. And not actually, I'm sorry, it's not a little more deep.
It's a lot more deep.
Yeah. So do you think just growing up playing it is what brought you to that? I'm sure a lot of the Seahawks and your teammates and other NFL teams are sort of, you know, in the other mold of NFL 2K or Call of Duty or whatever it is.
Yeah, most guys are gamers. I mean, I'm a gamer myself. I mean, I love video games and stuff. But for me, I definitely noticed that Magic players typically didn't look like me. But I knew guys who were more a little bit more like me, and they kind of hid it. You know what I mean? It was like that little bit of a closet nerd kind of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't tell most of my friends where I was going every single Friday night. Like, if it wasn't season and we weren't playing on Friday nights, like, I was at Hidden Fortress. I was Friday Night Magic till, like, 1 in the morning.
That's great. They're all like, we're going drinking. Yeah. You're like,
I'm tired tonight. Yeah, exactly. Whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, it was definitely a mold that I saw and I wanted to break, and I wanted to get more people into the game. I've always been really inspired about bringing, like, new people into the game because I know how amazing it is, like, in a competitive sense and, like, strategy. And, like, if you're just a smart, like, creative person, like, Magic's such a great like, game for you. So
I think that's why Posty loves it so much too,
for sure,
because the guy's a huge gamer, you know. He's got a Skyrim tattoo on his foot. He was just streaming Apex and stuff the other day, and I think Magic, to him, he considers it the best game in the world.
I do too. I for sure do. I mean, it's just so deep, so interactive. And if you're an intelligent person, you like, you know, strategic stimulation in that type of way, like any type of gaming, it's so good and so much more complicated than what you're going to get in video games. So
yeah, for the most part, for sure.
Yeah.
It's cool. I think you are right, though. I think you did really were the first person to really break the mold. And from there, we've seen it unfold into, everyone is now talking about Magic. Joseph Gordon-Levitt did that thing. Vice did that documentary.
Right.
Now Posty's playing it and stuff. Yeah. So it's, like, really cool to see. I think you were a part of that wave, and you were right at the front of it, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Game Night's Episode 6. Can't get more OG than that, dude.
Cannot, man. Literally.
So I think both those moments speak a lot to your personality. You were a collector. You also played legacy, sort of, like, high-level gaming. And then when you play EDH, you also are playing competitive EDH for the most part.
Yeah.
I'd say your decks are probably, like, what, between an 8.5 to a 9.5-ish?
Yeah. I mean, I don't feel like any of my decks at this point are completely tiered for, like, straight competitive play. Like there's
a 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
No jank in there at all. Yeah.
It's more like I throw a little bit of my own personal flavor into the deck to make it, like, not. Mm-hmm. I can't stick straight to deck lists. You know, I always mess with it a little bit and just, like, want to have my own twist on it. But yeah, I'd say competitive casual.
Competitive cash. You will.
Ooh, baby.
It's a whole new format. But yeah, these days you actually have opened up your own shop, which I think is great. And that's, I think, also what led to sort of hosting this crazy CADH tournament coming up. So
no doubt.
Let's talk a little bit about just that competitive part of it. I feel like Commander sped up a lot. We've talked about this a lot on the show too. Two mana rocks now, Arcane Signet, just the whole paradigm's changed.
For sure.
But it's still not quite. It's actually not even that close to where competitive really breaks apart. You know, it's like competitive is F1. You guys are taking turns at the fastest speeds you can.
Yeah.
And most of regular Magic is like NASCAR plus, I feel like.
Mm.
So
I'd agree.
Yeah. Do you think the growing competitive scene, do you think that's, like, a healthy thing overall for the game? Because it's definitely getting bigger and bigger by the year.
I think it's great because it's like there's this tier of Magic that if you really want to play and want to get that competitive, then you can. And, like, I think the fact that there's so many possibilities and you can be a lot more creative with, like, Commander, I feel, that the prizes and, like, the opportunities for, like, cool stuff are there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's going to be, like, that high level play, and then it's going to make the rest of Commander, you know, step their game up and see cool stuff and, like, be able to add that into their decks. But, you know, you can still have decks that build jank commanders and not build the most broken commanders and have a good time, like, more
casual.
Right,
and still sit at the table with, like, an 8.5, 9.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and there's, like, rule zero is just something that I really like, what I mean? Just
totally.
Talk about it amongst everybody at the table. What's the power level and, you know what I mean? Have
and
a good time.
Figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think anytime, because sometimes people see something growing as a bad thing, right?
Yeah.
But look at, for instance, you play football. Football's at the top tier of athletics, probably in the world in terms of sports.
Number one sport.
If it wasn't for that, you wouldn't have college level, high school level, even like kid level football be at the level it is, right? With that many programs, yeah. coaches, staffing, people interested in programs, yeah. and like even the equipment and all that stuff, right? The entire industry is born because you have a higher tier of
For
play.
Sure. I think it'll create a ton of opportunities because like for two things with Commander. Commander is a great way to get new people into the game.
Yeah. yeah.
Because it's more casual, it's fun, it's got there's more people to play with, like the whole deal. It's much more flexible, right?
Yeah, people making mistakes can be really fun.
Right.
Yeah, you have incredible memories sitting around the table and having silly things happen.
Of course. And then you've got your competitive side of things that can get really, really spicy, like almost at the almost even more so than like, you know, your Power 40 crazy decks, you know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
right.
You can
Very
really
high,
build
yeah.
some high-powered, really amazing decks and win turn two, some turn one, you know, mm-hmm. some crazy stuff is happening. So I think the flexibility with Commander is amazing.
Yeah, I agree. And I also think it would be great to at some point get great, just solid data on mm-hmm. like what percentage of players actually are fully competitive EDH players
right.
and how many of them are more on the casual level six, level seven decks,
uh-huh.
how many are in between. Because I would garner that a big majority of the players are all sitting between the level, like power level 5 to 8, 5 to 7 even.
Mm-hmm.
And then it really scales down up from there. But there's more and more people, so you obviously can have things like crazy tournaments,
right?
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Do you think that being an athlete has helped, right? Like, do you ever play casual decks? Would that be like going out and playing flag football for, you know, just...
It does make it really hard not to like just... Like, even if I play decks that I haven't, like, updated in a while,
yeah.
I really cringes me. I'll scoop. I'll just be like, this deck is not good. I know I'm not going to get
that. Happened the other night. You were playing, and you're like, this is not optimized.
Yeah,
yeah it's not working.
I don't like this. I was just like, I'm done. Like, I broke down the deck, like, right
yeah,
then and
right
there.
Then.
And
was the
like,
game
this...
was still going on, yeah. and we're all like, yeah, go for it. That's totally fine.
Yeah, so... It makes it really hard, but I'll pick up somebody else's deck and like teach people to play. And like, I'm a good sport down to play Magic whenever, however, but with my own stuff,
right.
it's very hard to build. If I do build jank, it's like the most G'd out jank you've ever seen in
jank
your life.
Plus
you know?
A bunch of rocks. So it's not janky.
Yeah. Rocks and tutors and all that stuff. Yeah.
Maybe it's kind of like a reflection. For instance, when I go and sit down and play Commander, I have something that I want in mind to happen that would make me the happiest.
Mm.
Right? It's like someone screaming, what? And you know, someone like, oh my gosh, a crazy moment. And that to me is like power level 7, 8-ish.
Okay.
Right. And then sometimes if I go down, I'm like, I want to do something that makes everyone go, wow. Then that's like power level 9.
Right.
And a half.
Yeah. 100%.
So I think as long as you have that intention when you go into play, and that's why the rule zero conversation is so important, you're going to get a better experience because it'll also naturally sort you into those groups, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so your store that you run, I think it's awesome. Stores, LGSs, we both know this. You all out there know this as well. They're the core of why Magic is about the gathering and
definitely.
A great place for people to gather and play, buy, do all that good stuff. What is your store called and when did you launch it?
So it's called Cash Cards Unlimited. We have a website as well, cashcardsunlimited.com. We launched almost 2 years ago.
Nice.
So,
oh, wow. Right in the middle of the pandemic?
Right as the Pokemon, like you started to see like that kind of take off a little
bit.
I had always wanted to have a trading card shop. I had been storing up a storage closet with a ton of sealed product, like... I'm buying, you know, 6 to 8 cases of every set that's coming out, just stacking it up because at one day I really did want to open up a shop. And I feel like the time had come to where if I waited too much longer, I would miss out on a lot of opportunities. So I went ahead and started it. It's in Thousand Oaks, California.
That's awesome.
We sell basically everything. Obviously, Magic is what I love the most and in the focus, but we have sports cards, Pokemon, Yu-Gi-Oh, everything, man. So it's a ton of fun. You know, it's a mix of... It's a reflection of me in the sense that the sports are there.
Right.
The nerdy stuff is there. The anime. Obviously, Magic the Gathering. It's cool.
Yeah, Magic is your specialty. Do you know a lot about sports cards and all that?
I know enough about... I mean, obviously, I know a lot about football. So, based on that, I know the valuable cards. But, like, just knowing, like, prices off the top... Like, it's so hard. And, like, that is one thing about the sports side of collecting I really respect is, like... The guys who really have the knowledge base for like pricing and stuff like that, and then multiple sports like
basketball, yeah. soccer,
baseball is really hard to find out like the values. Soccer's crazy now. They've got F1. There's a lot of cards out there. Yeah, and
that's nuts.
What is it? UFC cards are pretty crazy too. Oh, you know, I know a lot of Magic fans are big UFC watchers. So yeah. It's, I don't know, man, that side of things is pretty crazy.
So what is it like being, because it's not just your store, right? You are now talking Frankenstein. You've met tons of other vendors and collectors and distributors right. And stuff. What's it like being a part of that community?
Dude, there's some really, really cool dudes. Like, I get, you know how you get that kind of giddy feeling when you meet, like, maybe a celebrity or something like that?
Right, or someone that you admire.
Someone that you admire. Yeah, totally. I get that all the time with these guys because... Wow. They're just like so into the game, and they went in hard on Magic, and they've been living the life of just slinging cards their whole life, and they just have like the craziest stories from, you know,
years and years ago, right?
At $5, like they were going to fill up like things like this full of dual lands, like the 1600 rows, the two rows, you know what I'm saying? Filling up two rolls full of dual lands for $5 a pop and just put them to the
this
side.
Like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, yeah. And it's just like the stories. And then, you know, guys like Dan, who we met the other night. Like,
oh, is he the one with the crazy deck?
He's the one with the crazy deck. Oh, my goodness. I mean, he brought some stuff to my store and showed me where I was just like, I can't look at collections anymore and care.
Because of what you brought me.
I'm so spoiled now. But
yeah.
They're awesome, man. I mean, it'd be really... I mean, I've just having conversations with them. It'd be so cool to have some of those guys and just pick their brains, man. The stories are incredible.
Yeah, I mean, Magic's right. We're coming up on the 30th year anniversary. Mm-hmm. And the deck that Dan brought when we were playing, you've probably seen it on Twitter if you've been on Magic Twitter, but it's like... I don't know how to describe
it. It's crazy.
No sleeves. Yeah. Every single card
abused.
Is like a beat up, sharpied on, random scribbles. Someone signed something. Doesn't matter. There's a Time Twister in there.
Yeah.
There are original dual lands. Yeah. It is a high powered deck. There's alpha and beta cards in there. Yeah. But he shuffles it like you would when you were in third grade in front of the pavement or on the pavement outside the school. So that's awesome that he's a huge collector and still does that. Because that to me is what Magic was about when I was a kid.
100%.
It's like playing a lightning bolt on the ground, and who cares if it gets scratched up? You're doing something cool.
Yeah, no doubt.
That's awesome. So there's a huge CEDH tournament coming up.
Yes.
We've been burying the lead here for a while now. The massive prize pool. We're going to explain and tell you what those prizes are.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, I think having a store helped you get to this point.
Yeah.
So we're going to find out more about the event and what the prizes are, as well as more of the details. But first, let's take a quick break and hear from our mid-roll sponsors.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today. The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Hey, I'm Nolan Sykes, a host of Past Gas, the number one automotive podcast in the world. Every week, my co-hosts, James Pumphrey, Joe Weber, and I bring you some of our favorite stories from the hallowed halls of car history. From the amazing to the weird to the utterly unforgettable moments, we cover it all. Join us as we take a look at the wild stories and larger-than-life characters behind legendary cars and car makers. So if you love cars or just like a good story, check out Past Gas by Donut Media, the number one automotive podcast in the world.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to the show. I'm sitting here with the one and only King Cash in his court, his kingly court. It's really shiny and blingy in here.
Oh, baby. Yeah, I was just trying to blind the audience, that's all.
Yeah, you walk and you're like, oh, you can't even see.
Exactly.
So the Frankenstein tournament, it's a commander tournament.
Yes.
It's coming up September 3rd and 4th.
Yes.
To break it down, Frankenstein is a famous collectible show in Southern California. If you've ever been to like a Comic-Con, yeah, or like Emerald City Comic-Con, they have just, it's a huge warehouse with endless rows of just tons of different vendors, family vendors, people that do this for a living, people that just have a collection they're wanting to sell off, and they've got tons of magic shops and all that stuff too. You can buy
anything, honestly. It's
yeah,
crazy.
Anything nerd-related.
Yeah.
You want to get a title belt from an old WWE event from 5 years ago? Yeah. It'll be there. You want a full-size statue of Stone Cold Steve Austin? Someone's probably got it.
Yeah, 100%.
You want a Funko Pop or maybe 500 of them?
Yeah.
Sure. Every Magic card, every Yu-Gi-Oh card, yeah. Pokemon card, you name it.
Sick.
Old NES consoles, old games for the PlayStation. It's all there. It really is the best. And so they're hosting a commander tournament. So do they have space in there to host it? Where are they going to have it?
Yeah, so there's a space out in the back that they keep clear for events that they host. So we're using that space. And yeah, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be 200 person is the limit of how many people we're allowing to participate. After the first day, we're gonna stay after and play like casual commander, have a good time.
Oh, cool! Because they're leaving the whole place open for a little longer.
For just us though, they're gonna close it to general public, but we're gonna keep it open for this private thing. But
nice.
Yeah, and it'll be a great time. And then we're doing a huge Whatnot stream. We've got some crazy original art going up.
Nice.
Some obviously a bunch of graded power, just some crazy singles, all the juicy stuff that you really never see, or you only see at like big time conventions, you know. So
yeah. So guaranteed prize pool $30,000, and that's being conservative because the moment you say original art for the Whatnot stream or some of the cards we're going to talk about, the prices are going to be nuts.
Yeah.
Now the entry is $300 a person, but it's because there's a huge prize pool.
Yep.
It's competitive, and they are, like you said, throwing a private event basically after the tournament day one where you can hang out, chill, play some cards, meet some people.
Yeah.
Presented by Frankenstein, Cash Cards Unlimited, Whatnot, Trollex, Ludex, CGC Trading. And let's talk about the prizes, Cash.
Oh, baby.
Okay, first place, if you win this whole thing, you're going to get an unlimited Black Lotus. What?
Yeah,
that's crazy. Just nuts. That's definitely more than your entry fee.
Yeah.
You're also going to get a foil metalworker.
Yes.
An MTG mystery cube. What is this?
So the mystery cube is going to be from our guys over at Trollex. They do these incredible mystery boxes. And I've been told is that it's going to be like a dual land mystery pack. Mm. So very juicy.
Dual land mystery pack.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty good.
And I don't know the value that they're going to put in there. So that one could range anywhere from like, you know, 1500 to a lot, you know. So that's why I say we just kept it conservative with the 30K in prizes.
I like it. Mystery cube.
Yes.
And then the Commander Slab Angus McKenzie, which is from CGC Training. So it's just a graded Angus McKenzie in a slab.
Yep.
Really cool stuff. And then I'm stoked about this. There's a $1,800 Liliana statue.
Yeah.
Only 333 of these are made around the world, right?
Yep. They're super limited, and the quality is top tier. It's from a company called Gatherer's Tavern. They're great.
It's out of control.
It's really nice.
We'll show some pictures on the video, but it is insanely detailed. And I remember when I first saw it being like, wow, this is like the ultimate collector's thing.
Super.
Because it's just so great, especially if you love Liliana. Now, that's not all. Second place, They're going to win a Time Twister.
Yeah, that's not too bad either.
Not bad.
Exactly.
They're going to get a Commander Slab of a Sliver Queen, and then there's another to-be-announced prize there. So, I mean, that just the Time Twister by itself is nuts.
Crazy.
Third place, promo Gaia's Cradle. Pretty good in Commander.
That's not a bad card.
They're
going to
get two Ikoria Collector Booster Boxes and then the Commander Slab of Edgar Markov. So, again, just very good pricing. And then fourth place, I'm actually really excited about this. It is an Imperial Seal, but not the new one, the one that's originally from Portal 3 Kingdoms.
Yes.
Which is, if I'm not mistaken, one of the least printed sets of all time, especially English versions.
Yes, super, super rare. And even though Imperial Seal was reprinted, that original version hasn't been affected much, man, because
yeah,
it is such
so
limited
few copies of it.
And
yeah,
it's one of those cards people really love to grade, actually.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, interesting. Yeah,
that set in particular, just because the art is so unique and it's right, so rare. Yeah.
Yeah, and the art on Imperial Seal, that original version, is awesome.
Amazing.
So if you want to find out more about this tournament, you can head to cashcardsunlimited.com.
Yes.
We also have all the details in the show notes below the video. So just click through and you'll see what can they learn. They can learn like the tournament rules and all that.
Yeah, the way the tournament's going to be structured, how you are going to win and get to the final four. There will be some information about proxies. We will not be allowing proxies. We will be doing test cards.
Play test cards.
So that, and you will receive those from the judge. There will be a short list of cards that are allowed to be play tested, because obviously we know in competitive EDH some of these cards are extremely expensive, and so we want to obviously keep it open to more people, but also respecting those who have spent a lot of money in their deck, and it is a competitive.
Right, you can't just come in with 100-card proxied out.
No.
Yeah, yeah.
Very, very short list, but obviously we want to be fair to you guys.
That's really cool. And I think that's really unique, too, about competitive EDH is that, some of the cards, like we mentioned, like Time Twister, you know, Library of Alexandria.
Yeah.
No,
that's banned.
Not Library, sorry. I meant
Tabernacle.
Tabernacle at Pendrilville. Yeah, like those types of cards are just, pretty nuts. But that's really, really cool. So, make sure you check out cashcardsunlimited.com. You'll see that list of playtest cards. You'll see all the tournament rules. Mm-hmm. And if you're in the SoCal area or if you're around here, it's Labor Day weekend, September 3rd and 4th. I'm going to stop by, definitely show up and say hi. Everyone that can and wants to play competitive, I think this is definitely worth it.
Yeah. And, I mean, we're gonna have a couple of people that we allow to come come in and play some casual. It's just gonna be a cool day, man. A lot of legendary.
I really
people.
Like that. The after event is really awesome. That to me ties it all together.
Yeah, it makes it. I think it just makes it more of an experience, and that's what I was really going for.
Yeah, it's about the community, right?
Of course, always about the community, man.
Yeah, so really exciting. Again, September 3rd, 4th. That's Labor Day weekend. If you are around, definitely come check it out.
Yes, sir.
All right, let's talk a little bit more about the state of Magic today, because we've already sort of talked about this a little bit, but we've seen it become decidedly faster. Turn two is getting that key ahead moment of the game with Arcane Signet and all that stuff. But I think it's really interesting is seeing, when we first started, white and red were not in a good place.
No.
And today, you might even say that they're slowly creeping up to the point where they may even get close to some of the other colors. I think blues and black are still
very far in the
head.
Yeah.
But
green. Green's taking a backseat, I'd say.
A little bit, yeah. And we used to always say how green is just so absurdly powerful because of land ramp. But now we've got, treasures.
Treasures.
Right? We've got treasures. We've got Jeskka's Wills.
Yeah.
We have all this impulsive draw in red. And like in white, we have Archivist of Ogma.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. So
a lot of good cards.
What do you think about just in general the health of the format? Not just competitive, but Commander as a whole.
I think it's super balanced. As far as like the colors are concerned, obviously green's turned into more of a support color,
right? Totally,
which is still great. I mean, it's super powerful still, but as a support card or a color, I think it's even better. Like you said, white and red got a ton of support.
Yeah.
Dockside Extortionist, Jeskka's Will,
crazy stuff.
Yeah, just a lot of really good cards to support those colors, and it's made it a lot more fun. You're seeing a lot more versatile commanders. Some combos that you might not have seen before, it just seems a lot more versatile, a lot more fun.
Yeah, I like that a lot, actually, which is like people are lamenting how many new commanders getting printed all the time.
Yeah.
But if anything, it just opens the door, I think, to more interesting things for people to do.
Yes.
Because otherwise you would see, right, CEDH in terms of like tier one top level decks, that it does change pretty often.
Yeah.
New decks enter that rotation pretty often, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, you can... There's a certain amount of commanders. I don't think as consistently like the new commanders are that powerful, you know, there's a good amount of sets every year. So, you know, at least
there's a couple of contenders.
I'd say, yeah, like a handful of contenders every year for like very competitive, like high level Magic, you know, commanders, which I think is awesome, man. New decks to build, more interactions, cool stuff. Yeah.
What do you think about Commander Legends Baldur's Gate? Because there was, I think people got a little upset thinking it wasn't a high powered commander set. But looking back on some of the cards now, I'm not actually totally sure about that.
And there's some underrated cards in the uncommons.
Yeah.
And then obviously Displacer Kitten, Archivist of Ogbaw. I think the dragons are great as well. There's a couple other cards that aren't.
Dude, those dragons.
They're
are
so
nuts.
Good. They're so good.
Yeah. Because you're going to cheat them out.
Yeah.
You're not trying to hard cast them for the most part. And when they connect one time, I mean, it's kind of game over.
Yeah. And I think it made the dragons tribal deck like a lot more powerful.
Yeah. They
like,
printed Miriam, which is probably the best dragon commander ever, outside of Ur-Dragon, maybe.
Yeah, it's super good. So, like, I thought it was really powerful, and I think it was strong for more casual players.
Yeah.
Anytime
you print something at 7-8 mana.
Yeah.
But I'd rather print a creature, right, that's at 8 mana, I need to swing and hit with it, as opposed to casting Expropriate.
Yeah.
Because Expropriate makes me just like, ugh, fine, sure, but playing a crazy dragon, ancient brass dragon or whatever, and hitting someone with it, and then going, okay, now I win. That to me feels much more satisfying.
Exactly. Yeah, it's definitely more vintage Magic, I'd say.
Yeah. It's interesting because you went to Command Fest Vegas this year, obviously are going to bring more competitive decks. How was your gameplay experience? Because the games I played, I found were pretty balanced. Everyone had that real zero talk, and we all were able to have pretty, you know, great games. Turn 7, turn 9, turn 10, typically where they ended.
Yeah, I had a good time, man. I mean, I played with some people in the community and had a good time. A lot of times I get hated out of games.
They just know.
I mean, I think they're just anticipating me going off like so much that they
I see.
Yeah, and it's like, it's all fun, and then when I'm not having fun, I'm just like, okay, I gotta get out of here. You guys, look, everybody knows, I be scooping, bro. I be scooping, and it is what it is. Like, if you don't like it, I'm sorry. You know
I think
what
you
I'm
told
saying?
Me about someone, you had a medallion out, and someone vindicated it?
Yeah, yeah. So I hadn't played anything. I was playing Orvar, which is a good deck, and Sapphire Medallion is a piece of that. But somebody else on the table had like was going off, and I had all I had on the board was the Sapphire Medallion, and I don't think it was vindicated. It was he might have vindicated. It was some type of one of those spells, of those spells, and I was just like, my guy, like. And I scooped and I was like, whatever, but you know what I mean? It was fun. We had one good game before that, so it was
Yeah. It's not like you just took it, ran away, right.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess people know when they sit down to play with you, they better bring some high power stuff, right?
For sure. And you know, it's always fun. Like I think it's dope that like they want to beat us so that they can claim it, you know, which is dope. Like I love that part of it and I'm happy to make those people happy, you know.
I mean, I gloat when I beat you too, so
I gloat when I beat you all the time. Dang. Yeah, but
I should have seen that coming.
I was like, "What are you talking about?"
I was just kidding.
Wilding the other day. I post these out.
That's true. It's true, actually, because when we go to events, Josh and I find that people just go like, "Swing at you, Jimmy, you, Josh," because I want to tell people I killed you.
Yeah, 100%.
And I don't blame them for that. In fact, it kind of makes the game experience a little more fun sometimes. Yeah. But it's also a deeper hole to politic your way out of.
Exactly. Josh's skills are being tested big time for sure. The ultimate politician.
I know, right? And it's amazing. He still manages to pull off some crazy things, even when it's so obvious to me, as someone that's played with him for hundreds of hours now.
Oh, yeah.
I can see it. I can smell it coming from a mile away. I'm sure
you can too. Yeah.
How easy is it to get into CDA?
I think it's actually relatively easy. I mean, there are some deck lists out there, and typically mana colored decks, because the land base is what's going to cost you the most, the fetch lands and such.
So mono colored decks are probably the cheapest
entry point. Yeah, 100%. But I mean, there's some like white, red. I mean, blue is going to always be your most expensive, but now white and red have gotten so much support, and green has had that, that you can build those monocolored decks and build something, you know. I think there's a couple tier one,
I think
red or white commanders. I don't know. Are there any green commanders that are tier one?
Maybe Sovala.
Sovala, maybe. Yeah. But she might be 1.5 Yisan.
Yeah. But even, yeah. I mean.
But powerful. Very powerful. Right. Like
a Sovala deck, though, if you look at the list, it doesn't have that many crazy cards.
Mm-mm,
you
know? Guys,
a lot of them are weird, like, oh, when this comes in, untap stuff. Right,
yeah.
And then you look at, I actually saw a list, a Heliod Suncrown list that Relative with Walking Ballista. Cheap, yeah. Yeah, that's just a mono white deck that just trying to get that combo out.
Right.
I think it actually took down an entire tournament recently. And then you had the Teshar deck, right?
Yeah, Teshar is awesome. Like that's it is. I don't know that it's tier one. Maybe I think maybe tier two, but it is. It will go off. It's super fast. It's got like a ton of support, like drawing cards. Yeah. But that one's I think is a little bit more expensive because it's artifact based.
Oh, you're playing a lot of the
so you got a lot
artifacts.
Of the rocks and stuff like that. But still more affordable than blue, I'd say.
Yeah. Well, in that case, you're running Force of
blue
Will,
or black, yeah.
And all those zero cost counters and all that.
It's crazy, yeah.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have a misconception about CEDH in that it is a, you know, get out of my way, pub stomp, you know, I don't want to play with you unless you're playing at my level. But it's not actually that crazy to build a CEDH deck and have it be relatively affordable, especially considering some commander decks, even if they're kind of casual, can be really expensive too, right?
I think actually competitive players typically have like their CEDH deck or two, and then they have a bunch of other decks that are probably ramped up, but they're not built to like just, you know, pup stomp. And most of those guys, I think, you know, have other decks because they know that you can't play with people at that level and have fun all the time.
Right. Yeah. You're not as not every deck is like dialed in, like you were saying.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah. I think one of the things that another misconception and I know that I'm speaking for competitive players here and that we've always get in trouble when we try and do this, but people think that, you know, competitive players, all they want to do is enter a game store, sit down to a fun casual pod and destroy them.
Yeah.
It's like, no, I don't think that's what it really is. Now, there are people that do pub stomp and we're, you know, I'm not speaking about them, but I think competitive players, you guys just want to sit down with other people that can match your level and give you sort of like that, right? It's a battle of inches.
Yeah. I love... What I live for in Magic are those end game interactions that are like, I'm going to win and you know I'm going to win and like everybody at the table's trying to stop me, but I've got the answer for everything.
Yeah.
You know, like that's what I want at the end of a game to happen. Like,
feels good.
Yeah, because that's the ultimate like win, like, you know, playing your spell to win the game, and then someone tries to counter. You counter their counter.
Someone else does something.
And then you have an answer. Like the double answer is just, oh, it's so juicy, bro. Like I love that. Yeah.
That kind of reminds me of like football too, when you're on like goal line, right? And they're trying to stop you in the red zone or something.
Dude,
right?
Here's a crazy stat that I don't think people really realize. I think it's somewhere around 70% of NFL games are settled by one score or less.
Wow.
And I think a pretty big percentage as well, like 40 or 50 are settled by a field goal or less.
Jeez.
Which is actually incredible to think about. Like these the high level games that you're watching that you love and are entertaining you are almost always close games.
And that's the reason it's entertaining.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, the one Super Bowl the Seahawks won, it was a blowout.
That was crazy. I mean, people stopped watching it. I showed up to a Super Bowl party late. Didn't really care, like the
right.
Whatever. And
a viewing party.
Yeah, and I got there at halftime, and it was
like
over, bro. No, it was even worse. It was crazy. it was nuts when I got there. I was like, oh yeah, this game is over, bro. Yeah. And then I think Percy Harvin like took the halftime first kick all the way in.
Yeah, ran
crazy.
Right in.
So
yeah, I think that's actually a really good point. I got chills thinking about it, which is like Magic games are fun if they're close.
Yes. So
football games are fun to watch if they're close. No one likes a blowout.
Yeah.
Unless the person is winning and that's all they want to do.
They like that, yeah.
Yeah, maybe they like it.
It isn't as good, though.
Yeah, because it's not fun for other people to watch. It's not fun for to participate in. But when it's right down to it, the clock is running down. You have to make an insane field goal kick with wind blowing in your face.
Yeah.
They're trying to ice the timer, ice the kicker and stuff, right? Yeah.
All that good stuff. Those pressure times are wild, too, man. It's a unique experience.
Sort of like when heroes are born sort of thing, huh? When legends are made.
Yeah,
forged in the fire.
Versatility, diversity, excuse me.
Yeah. Is there anything that you think is still missing from the play experience of competitive? Like if you could add something in or even just ban a card or something, is there something that you would want to have? Or even, like some people talked about like separate ban lists for competitive, etc. What do you say on all that?
I don't believe in ban lists, honestly. But I recognize that it's necessary from like a competitive standpoint. Right. I think Magic's great. I mean, Commander in general is great. I think one thing that I want to see and the reason why I'm doing this tournament at a smaller scale, guys, I'm not planning on doing these crazy big tournaments. I realize that that is such a huge task to take on, and I respect the people that have.
You're
after
paving
doing
the
this.
Way. You're setting a path forward.
I think that tournaments that really reward and set people up to make big winnings and do like crazy stuff and actually possibly make a living from competing in Magic. I think if you create that type of scene in Commander, you're going to have so many like young kids like really getting into it, because let's be real here, guys, like Magic the Gathering is a great thing to get into from a game standpoint. But like if you're a young like investor or just a person like trying to make smart financial decisions, yeah, like totally. It's a great game to buy into, especially from a competitive standpoint. So,
I would never tell someone to go play Valorant to buy the skins, because you don't get to sell those skins later.
Never. Yeah.
But
never.
Magic, if at any point, you could maybe a card you got for $10 today could buy a whole deck later on in your life. You know?
I promise you that if you build a nice EDH deck right now and you put it in a closet for 5 years, it's going to come out worth more. 100%. Oh, that, I mean, 100%. I can tell you that. Right.
Yeah. I think as a collector myself, too, that much is obvious. And I think the exit point is always something I'm thinking about when it comes to it. You know, when I was a kid, I played World of Warcraft. I sold my account on eBay and I was like, great, I got something back. But you can't really do that today with accounts and stuff. But Magic Cards does give you that option.
Absolutely.
Okay. So let's look a little bit ahead. Do you have any thoughts on the fact that we're going to be bringing in new legacy and potentially competitive cards from like Unfinity?
Dude. This is
it's kind of wild. There's a lot of discussion about this right now because there's a new sticker mechanic. Mark Rosewar actually just made a blog post today where he said, look, we're trying to make Magic like a buffet, I think, to sort of summarize, which is like you can all go in and sure, you may not want the olives over there, but someone else may put olives on their plate. And if they do, great for them. They're going to go eat their olive plate and do their things over there, but it may not affect you. It may affect you. So it's an interesting thing to think, like, it's trying to be making a game for everyone, but it still in ways can be, you know, contentious and isolatory, because I don't know if I want someone putting a sticker on my card.
I do know.
Maybe and in limited environment, I'll be totally fine with it.
I think in... They said that Legacy legal, right?
Yeah, they're in the same way that it's Commander legal. Yeah. It's called Legacy legal.
Yeah, right. So I just think that it's a little bit like the Legacy legal to think putting stickers on some of these cards, whether they're sleeved or not, to me is just like, I don't love it. But again, like somebody might, and maybe that's what, you know, WotC is looking to do.
I think they're expanding the idea of what it means to play Magic, and unsets are typically the place to do it.
Yeah,
because you know, like the, you know, there are cards that you throw in during an unset draft, and you do things where you ask someone in the room something.
It makes sense in an unset for sure, but I think like the crossover into like the regular gameplay is a little bit crazy. But
yeah, that might be a good Rule Zero conversation, which is like, hey, I have a card that puts stickers on, but I actually have pieces of paper that you can slip inside your sleeve instead.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Okay, I'm fine with that.
Great. Yeah, seriously, yeah.
Thoughts on Universes Beyond. This is like something that I think for a lot of people, me, I don't care. I want to sit down and play against some crazy cards.
Yes.
And Street Fighter Walking Dead, Secret Lair just came out.
Yeah. Pickle Rick's super good. He's great card. Love that card. The Chun-Li that came out, super dope.
Yeah, with the multi-kicker, great flavor there.
Who's red green?
Blanca.
Blanca's really good.
Blanca's really good, yeah.
Joe's got that Blanca deck that is just like absolutely abusive. So I think it's great, man. I mean, I love it. I think that it's going to bring a lot more people into the game of Magic.
Yeah, totally.
Because just from a collector standpoint, and then you see that type of stuff, like those things grab people's eyes when you see a card and you're like, oh, that's Chun-Li. That's sick. Like, what is this? Like, let me look more into it.
Yeah, so you're okay if you sit down, you bring out your deck, someone else goes, cool, I'll be playing Frodo the Ring Bearer. And someone else goes, I will be playing Chun-Li. And the last person goes, I'll play Pickle Rick.
Yeah, I think that's awesome, dude. Like, I absolutely love that. I think that'll just make the game even cooler than it already is.
That's great. And that's great. I love to know that you're down with all of that. It's only when someone vindicates your medallion that you're,
I'm not down for that, bro. I'm not down for that. And it all has context.
True. It is all
Jimmy
context.
Wong.
It does
it
now.
It does
yeah.
have context. So like, don't like, if you just came in and just started watching right now, I promise you there's more to that.
Totally. Yeah. All right. So what collaboration with Universes Beyond will get you stoked? I know you're a big anime fan.
Yeah.
So that's a good place to probably start.
I think there's three animes that would really just, and I'll save the most obvious one for last, but yeah. Hunter x Hunter.
Oh yeah.
I would absolutely love that. I think that there's a classic. Bunch of great characters for that. I think Gon's dad would just be like the craziest command. He'd have to be like super dope.
Just the best hunter of all time.
Has
much.
To be. Yeah.
Killua too. Oh my
Killua would be legendary. Yeah, 100%.
Pretty
so there'd
cool.
be some really cool potential there. I think One Piece would be great.
And
I think they can do a couple series of One Piece because it's obviously so long and there's so many great like characters within that game. You
yeah,
know
they have
mean?
Like a billion villains too.
So many dope
everywhere
villains.
They go, there's just they're... a crazy person doing something. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And then obviously the most obvious to me is Dragon Ball Z. I mean, if I could play a Goku deck or a Broly deck.
Like, Broly? Nice.
Bro, come on. Broly would be absolutely vicious.
I want Trunks. He was always one of my favorite characters.
Trunks is fire, and he's a little more mysterious. You know, the time travel thing, he probably would be a blue card for sure.
Oh, yeah. Teferi Online. He's got a sword. I love that.
Yeah, I feel like Vegeta would be like black red.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Piccolo's just mono green because he's
green. Mono green? Yeah, I think so.
Well, just because of his color.
Kind of makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, I would buy the heck out of a Hunter x Hunter collaboration if that ever happens. Also, Jacob Bertrand, Shola Maraduena, both those guys from Cobra Kai and been on Game Nights, they love Hunter x Hunter too.
That's awesome.
So, yeah. To me, I think we've been seeing it already happen, right? We had the cool anime planeswalkers.
Those things are they're so cool too. The Ashiok is like I love that thing.
Oh yeah, and the power level is great.
Yeah.
And then they had all these alt arts that were done by anime artists, and then they did the same thing for Kamigawa.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I've been watching it, and you know, you've been on this train for a while, which is anime is good, and anime.
No. Let me take this back. Crunchyroll, if you're watching right now.
Crunchyroll, you watching?
I love anime. Anime is the best. It's probably about 85% of what I watch. I think there's way better, like, entertainment in anime. It's way more creative. There's so much more opportunity. Like, it's so good. And there's so many different, like, what's the word? Genres within anime.
Yeah, it's not just, like, one thing.
100%.
And if you've seen the effect that it's had on pop culture, there's this great supercut I was watching the other day. You know the Akira motorcycle slide?
Yes.
Where he like slides and the sparks come out.
Fire.
That same shot has been replicated like 100 times
in
other things ever since it happened first in the anime. And we're talking like the 80s when this was drawn.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, we're now finally coming around to see it much more so on a broad scale to the point where it's like Hot Topic is selling, you know, your old 100x 100 shirts or whatever, Uniqlo. But it's great. I think it's totally necessary. The format of anime is fantastic. Like you said, there's so much expressiveness, so much ingenuity. It'd be great to see it in some more magic cards.
Oh my gosh, please.
Yeah. All right, everyone. To the listeners, let us know your thoughts on the growing competitive scene. Let us know if you're going to be at the Frankensun tournament.
Ooh, babe.
Co-hosted by Cash Cards Unlimited and all those other sponsors we talked about earlier. I want to know if you're trying to win that Unlimited Black Lotus, that Time Twister, that Promo Guy's Cradle.
So much good.
And I would also love to know just your thoughts as well on our conversation today. If you agree with what we're talking about in terms of competitive, if you think it's good for the overall health of the format, if you think that it's bad, whatever you're thinking, let us know in the comments. There's always a great lively discussion going along there. And where, again, Cash, can they go and find out information about this tournament?
Guys, go to cashcardsunlimited.com. It is all in the details. If you go to buy a ticket, you press the details. All of the rules, everything will be explained there. If we miss anything, which I think we covered majority of things, but the rules and all of that are there.
Yeah.
If you have any questions, please feel free to DM us, Cash Cards Unlimited on TikTok, Instagram, email us, any of that. We'll definitely get back to you as soon as possible. And yeah, look forward to seeing everybody, man. I'm super stoked.
I'm stoked too. You can find Cassius on Twitter at KingCash_7191. And of course, if you need to suit up your deck before you get there, you still got time. ChannelFireball.com/command. Buy those singles. Get that sealed product. Whatever you need to outfit your deck, whether you're playing from casual all the way up to competitive. And then go to shop.ultrapro.com/command. And you can buy from there. There's tons of great deals all the time if you need a resleeve. Leave something or just put something into a binder. All right, end step. Let's talk about the fact that your name is actually not just Cassius Marsh anymore. It's Cassius Marsh Senior.
Yes, sir.
Because you and I are both in the baby boy camp.
Yeah, man. Magic dads.
Magic dads.
Hashtag magic dad.
Get it trending.
Oh, baby.
I've met a lot of people that actually joined the Magic Dad Discord, and it's great.
There's a Discord?
Yeah.
Oh,
I'll send you an invite.
Oh, I'm in there.
And it's cool just because you get to see people talking about just one being dads, because yes. It's an entirely amazing experience. Shout out to all the dads and moms out there. Yes. And anyone that's trying to be a parent as well. I know it's a really difficult journey.
Yes.
And have you started to teach your young boy Magic the Gathering yet? He's a little too young, right?
He is a little too young, but what I have taught him the art of is pack opening.
Cracking packs.
He's cracking packs.
Getting started early.
He is. He's cracking. We've cracked Pokemon.
Oh, okay.
Magic the Gathering, obviously. And some Weishwarts too.
Oh, cool.
Which is another card game that's, I mean, I don't know if it's a game. It is a game, but it's cool. It's got some dope anime arts.
That's awesome. What does he love to play with the cards, the art? What draws him to it?
He definitely loves the art. He just likes looking at them, but he definitely has a thing about setting them in perfect, if he had 10 cards, he'd put a row of five like this and right under them. It's actually a little bit crazy. I'm like, yo, my son is mad organized.
He's
like,
ready to organize his board state.
Yeah, he's set up, bro. So
that's
it's pretty
great.
Cool, man.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's also, I mean, it's such a good game for kids to learn because it's math, it's so many, it's strategy, it's all built in there. Yeah.
Got to get him right for when, you know what I mean?
When he comes on game nights, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Josh and I would be in the stroller, be like, welcome to game nights.
Yeah, exactly.
I kind of want to do the thing where I put my baby down and once he can start crawling and then put magic cards in front of him and see which he goes to and picks.
What color?
Just trying to find really iconic cards from each of the colors.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh, your son is so adorable. And
thanks,
he is huge, man. Like this, I mean...
Yeah, he's like, if I put him on my leg, he's like up to here.
No, he's a big baby, bro.
He's a big baby.
He's going to be a large man.
Yeah, he's definitely taken a couple of giant growths to the face. So.
Yeah, to the first. Yeah.
All right, Cash, thanks so much for coming today on the show. Make sure you check out CashCardsUnlimited.com. Follow Cassius on Twitter and Instagram to find out more about the tournament. There's still going to be more things announced. As you know, there's more prizes that we haven't announced yet, so check it all out. Southern California, September 3rd and 4th. And a big thanks to everyone here at the Command Zone. Damon Lenz, Shauna Gillis, Arthur Meadowcroft, Ashlyn Rose, Lady Danger, Manson Lung, Craig Blanchett, Josh Murphy, Jake Bosch, Josh Lee Kwai, Patrick Nan, Jordan Pridgen, Sam Waldo, Grav Galati, Truck Ty, Jamie Block, Mitch Trafford, and Evan Limburger.
Giggity Gang is out here.
Gang.
Wow. Can you just get a round of applause for how you just spit that off right there?
You know, I'm thinking about going into rapping. You think Posty would sponsor me?
I think he would. You know, Posty loves you, man.
He would not. He would be like, yeah, that was... dope, dude.
He'd say kind words for sure.
Yeah, he would let me down softly.
Yes, 100%.
Big thanks to Jeffrey Bomber as well for doing the Living Card animations like this Days Behind Us, as well as That Starts the Show. You can find him on Twitter at Living Cards MTG. All right, everyone, go play competitive EDH if you are down.
Do it.
And get ready to try and win a freaking Black Lotus.
Oh, yeah.
All right, everyone, we'll see you next time. Peace.
For your attention. For further inquiries, send an email to commandcast@rocketjump.com or ask us on Twitter at JF Wong and at Josh Lee Kwai. See you later, alligator.
Greetings, humans.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angi has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angi app, answer a few questions, and Angi can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angi that. Download the free Angi mobile app today or visit Angi.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.